Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. My conversation with Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life. We go through all the major objections around life. If you want to get educated on the life topic, this is a quick, easy to listen to episode. Enjoy and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom at charliekirk.com. That is freedom at charliekirk.com. You have got to get your tickets today to AmFest. It's been there for a couple years. It is a game-changing, life-changing event. It has secured the title of the largest multi-day conservative gathering in history. You know, over 10,000 people attend. You better get your tickets. They're popping. AmFest has an electrifying environment, leads the charge to fight the American culture war, as we bring you to the epicenter of freedom. The speakers are unbelievable. You might ask, well, when is it? It's December 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and come on. I mean, these speakers, hold your phone. Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, Patrick Bet-David, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Allie Beth Stuckey, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Jason Whitlock, Gad Saad, Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Yanmi Park, Michael Seifert, James Lindsay, Steve Bannon, Eric Metaxas, Donald Trump Jr., Josh Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and bigger names than even that to be announced soon. So get your ticket today, amfest.com. That is amfest.com. You're going to really love it. I think when you come, you'll meet new people. Maybe you want to find a husband or a wife. Come to AmFest. Find a best friend. Come to AmFest. Have kids that you're afraid are slipping to the liberal side. Go to AmFest. Have conservative kids that you want to give them the best Christmas gift ever. Amfest.com. Meet your heroes. See them in person. Plus, there's breakouts and media row. It's an incredible, incredible event. AmFest.com. Just coming in a couple weeks, Phoenix, Arizona. We're doing our show live, by the way, from Media Row. Love seeing all of you taking selfies. It's great. We spent a couple hours there last year. It was really amazing. AmFest.com. This 4-day event is packed with empowering speakers, hundreds of patriotic partner organizations, and the America-loving community that you have been searching for. Don't miss on the amazing concert, too. And let me tell you, come on, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Allie Beth Stuckey, James O'Keefe, Patrick Bet-David, Glenn Beck. I mean, just drop everything and come to Phoenix. AmFest.com. AmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this member-only exclusive conversation. Joining us now is the pro-life warrior, Kristen Hawkins, who does an amazing job. She goes to college campuses and fights for life all across the country with Students for Life. Kristen, thank you so much for joining the program. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
So the consensus in the regime Republican circles is we must stop talking about life, stop talking about abortion because of what happened in the recent election results. Your reaction, Kristen?
That would be no. That is the opposite of what we need to do. We know the Democrats are desperate. They want to run on abortion. They have nothing else to run on in 2024. But as I've been telling candidates since Roe was reversed, this is not the time to put the head in the sand on the moment, because you cannot outrun the abortion bully. This is not going to end well for you or conservative politics.
Yeah, I mean, I believe something similar. And I think that, I mean, you tweeted out my article, which is, I think people are misrepresenting it. So, Kristen, if you were in charge of the Republican Party on how we talked about life, what can the Republican Party do better?
I think we need to be talking constantly about late-term abortion, how it exists, it is real, and Democrats support it. And we have the votes. We have the letter from the Biden administration demanding that the Women's, quote, Empowerment Act be passed, which would legalize abortion up until the moment of birth in all 9 months with taxpayer funds, which Democrats voted on twice and passed in the House of Representatives when Nancy Pelosi was still in charge. We need to talk about that. Why? We know the abortion industry is terrified of that. This summer, Alex Miguel Johnson, all of the big Planned Parenthood and abortion lobbyists were on Twitter talking about how late-term abortion doesn't exist. It's not real. They have a whole misinformation campaign going out there trying to tell Americans late-term abortion doesn't happen. Why? Because they know it's a political loser for them. Even pro-choice Americans disagree with the notion of late-term abortion. But yet, when you see issue one in Ohio, when you see any time they introduce pro-life laws, Planned Parenthood will not allow these legislators who are in their pocket to introduce laws that don't allow abortion up until the moment of birth. That's what we need to expose them on. We need to be calling for votes for the Abortion Survivor Protection Act, which simply doesn't ban abortion at any point in pregnancy. It just says when a child is born accidentally from the abortionist side, when a child is born breathing during an abortion, the abortionist has to, at minimum, give life-sustaining care to the child, call the EMTs, get the child to the emergency room. Every single time we brought them a vote, Democrats voted against it. They vote literally for infanticide, and that's what America needs to know.
No, that's right. So, Kristen, help me and help our audience approach some of the top objections. What I have noticed is that the courage of the pro-life students is increasing, which gives me great hope. But the hostility, and again, I can handle it. I don't care. But I want to be effective, right? The hostility I receive just for breathing and existing from young women in particular on this topic is remarkable. When a young woman says, but it's my sovereignty, my body, my choice, what do you think is the most effective way to either convince them or convince those watching the debate, because they're two separate things?
That's right.
To, let's just say, persuade them towards our viewpoint.
I would ask them why they would prescribe such extremism to solve a problem, because we all can realize that what's inside of a mother is special, right? Whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, you know that there's what's inside of a mother isn't simply just a meaningless clump of cells. That's why, you know, we all mourn with our friends if our friends experience miscarriage. We don't ask if our friends are having a parasite. We ask them if they're pregnant with a boy or a girl. So that's kind of written on the human heart. But what you're seeing when you hear those women scream at you is really this reflection of what's been happening in our culture. You know, since the 1960s and 1970s, the second wave of feminism, it has been drilled into young women that they cannot succeed. They cannot succeed in their educational or career goals unless they have access to abortion. Access to abortion makes them equal to men. And even our Supreme Court acknowledged that and said that in Casey v. Planned Parenthood in the early 90s, reinforcing this myth. And so the question I always ask young women is, why do you resort to such extremism? Let's talk about the maybe some very valid concerns you have about maternal health care in our country, or access to education once you become pregnant, or where you're going to live once you become pregnant, or how you're going to force your partner who has told you he wants to force you to have an abortion, because more than 75% of abortions are coerced, how to force him to make sure he's supporting you and your child with child support. Let's have those conversations. But why are we always resorting to extremism on this issue of let's just kill the child? Let's walk it back and dial it back. And those are the conversations I like to have. I like to ask a woman, who made you think Who has told you that you aren't strong enough to carry a child to term, to parent a child, to place a child with a loving adoptive family, and also complete your educational or achieve your career goals? Because we certainly haven't told that in the pro-life movement. We don't believe that about you. We believe you are strong enough.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk, your exciting news to share about saving babies by providing ultrasounds. Right now, there is a dollar-for-dollar match doubling the number of babies you'll save with preborn. There are babies alive today about to celebrate their first Christmas because of what we did together a year ago at this time providing ultrasounds. And right now, you can save twice as many babies. Maybe you're already wondering about end-of-the-year giving and want to give every dollar get the most results. Or maybe you just want to know that a girl making this decision deserves the truth. So that next year at this time, she's picking out a Christmas stocking for her baby's first Christmas. It's beautiful to think about. Your gift of $15,000, somebody out there can do it, I'm sure, will provide not one, but two ultrasound machines. $280 saves 10 babies. $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. I'm a donor to this organization. We love this organization with the Kirk family. Call 833-850-2229. Full endorsement. Amazing people. Click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. Go to charliekirk.com right now and click on the preborn banner. I think that's smart, and it is very empowering to the audience and also the person I'm dialoguing with.
Right.
So then the new, not new, but none of this is new. It's all demonic. But the more popular argument that I hear, Kristen, is, but you're going to force me to have a pregnancy. That It is you're forcing me to now go through with this and it will ruin my life. It's interesting because they're using like government force arguments now as if that, and this, by the way, Jamal Bowman recently came out and he said that this is government mandated pregnancies. This is nothing new, but it's now becoming one of the top arguments I hear. And, but a young lady on campus, what if, how do I get through to her if she doesn't think it's a life? Now, maybe it's a shtick. I actually think it is. I think that they're just saying that or they're suppressing truth that they know in their soul. So your reaction to both of those points?
There's two ways to talk about that, because what you're talking about for her, where she's saying it's not a life, obviously she's not ignoring biology. I would hope not, that it is in fact a unique whole human life that never existed before or will never exist again. What she's saying is she doesn't believe that human life has the same rights as she does. It's not fully a person in her mind. And somewhere along the line, in the 9 months or in the 6 inches of her vaginal canal, a person makes. And that's just not true. So when you're talking to that woman about that issue, I think you really have to hit home the facts about fetal development. You have to talk about the gruesome, violent nature of abortion. It's not simply the mere removal of support. It is active killing for a human life that is alive. I think when you're talking about the audience who's watching you have the conversation, mm-hmm. I often talk about the pro-choice nature of the pro-life movement. The pro-life movement is very pro-choice in the decisions that women make. And she certainly, unless you're talking about sexual assault, she has made a choice to engage in a behavior. Both she and he have made a choice to engage in a behavior that results, biological consequence could be the creation of a unique, whole, living human child. You had a choice to engage in that behavior, but you don't have the choice to say you don't like all the consequences of engaging in that behavior. That's not what adulthood and making responsible decisions is about.
Yeah, I use that argument. I don't know if it works. I think it works for onlookers, which is that just for
some people it works.
Some people
are just selfish.
No, that,
you have to
that,
be careful.
So that's
about
the
that.
Question, right? Is for a generation or a community that is so inward focused, not on duty, obligation, transcendent, right or wrong. You and I both know mm-hmm. we have a tough job in front of us, right? It's a tough deal. And so what right now do you see in all the pro-life activism you're doing that gives you the greatest hope and then concern? Let's start with hope.
Well, the hope is what you said earlier, Charlie, is the young people who are demanding that Republicans, I don't know, do more than propose a 15-week, four-month abortion proposal that would allow more than 9 out of 10 abortions. These young people are unrelenting. They're on their campuses when people are eating, literally taking our rubber fetal mouths and consuming them. When they're spitting at them, when their administration is stopping them from even having a pro-life event or a speaker, these young people are unstoppable. I mean, we were door knocking last year in Cheyenne in February. The kids, one of the folks got, it was unbelievable how cold these poor children got, but they were out there knocking on doors because we were going to pass our Abortion Protection Act in Wyoming. And we did, despite the freezing cold temperatures, despite the frostbite. They were unrelenting because they see the vision in their mind. What's concerning is the selfish nature that we're talking about, that we've definitely seen a rise of in a post-Roe America, where more people on campuses or when you're having conversations are willing to tell you, yes, I know it's alive. Yes, I know it's probably a person, and I still don't care. And this is why culture matters. This is why we have to do a better job of elevating motherhood and families and marriage in our culture, because we have done a real disservice to our young women and to our nation by elevating what we presume to be this elevated status of single woman who's living the life in Manhattan, who has it all and has all the handbags, versus a woman who we, you know, show as being disheveled and stressed out to the max of homeschooling her children and you know, maybe having a side job. We do a really big disservice to our young women when we can't have a real conversation to elevate motherhood, to elevate marriage. Because when you look at abortion statistics, as I mentioned earlier, over 75% of women who have abortion say they didn't want to have an abortion. They were forced to have an abortion. Or if one thing had changed, if they had been offered actual support, they would have chosen life. So the fundamental truth is still there, Charlie. No one wants to have an abortion, but we have to break through this, and we have to stop this vicious attitude on campuses that we can do whatever we want, no matter how much it harms another human being. And it really starts, I think, with just showing the moral argument of the child in the womb, the preciousness of that child, because they wouldn't say that for any other human rights atrocity. They'll only say it when it comes to abortion.
Yeah, and there a lot of them are very interested in justice, but not the justice of the unborn. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. Since we have seen Roe versus Wade sent back to the states or repealed, have we seen states that have outlawed abortion rates go down? What do the numbers demonstrate so far?
Yeah, the abortion numbers have gone down in states like Arkansas, in Alabama, in Oklahoma, Mississippi. It's very clear if you're not having abortions be legal, abortions will go down. Does it completely eliminate abortions? No. I mean, the abortion numbers in Texas, for example, dramatically declined, but we still know abortions are happening, and we don't even know how to track them because there is an illegal flow of chemical abortion drugs being sent into states where there are no surgical abortions or where abortion has been made a thing of the past. This is a major concern for our state attorneys general. It's a major concern for our federal government because they're violating the federal Comstock Act. This is one of the questions I had outside of Ohio was the governor now, Governor DeWine, the state legislature, they should be taking away the licenses of these abortionists to practice medicine in their state because we know they're engaging in a federal crime with the flow of these chemical abortion drugs into their state. And so this is why when we're talking about, you know, what types of abortion laws Republicans should be introducing and advancing. We don't even have to talk about a gestational limit on abortion. We could be talking about chemical abortion, which is, the largest percentage of abortions this year will be committed using chemical abortion drugs. And they are gruesome abortions. They lead to injury, infertility, and death. They're the drug of choice for rapists and sex abusers on women. Women are aborting children in their toilet bowls and being told just don't look and just keep flushing. It's unbelievable what's happening in our country. And state attorneys general have the responsibility to stop the flow of these drugs.
So in closing, Kirsten, what do you say to people that would agree generally on the morals, but they say, but don't make it illegal because that is then you're legislating your morality?
Well, I mean, I think you go back to the Declaration of Independence when our founding fathers listed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and the duty of our government to preserve life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in that order. We cannot have liberty. We cannot have the chance to pursue happiness if first we don't have the very right not to be killed. And I think that is the preeminent duty of our government is to protect the human beings within its borders. That is why we have a government. And I think if you don't stand against abortion, but you say you're pro-life, you probably need to go back and re-educate yourself a little bit on abortion, because I don't see how anyone can justify allowing the violence against innocent children to happen more than 2,000 times every single day. And in some regards, depending on your state with your taxpayer dollars, it's led to a culture of death, Charlie, that isn't just for the children, but it's a culture of death that we're now seeing play out throughout our whole country when we begin to dehumanize our neighbors, our family members, when people in the streets want to shout and yell things that are anti-Semitic against our Jewish brothers and sisters. The culture of death is here, and it starts with first, refusing to acknowledge the humanity that every human being has and the very right that every human being has not to be killed because they're precious.
Kirsten, what is the greatest need for the pro-life movement that you see currently?
I think the greatest need, and I've been saying this for, before Roe was reversed, is that I believe very much in the John Maxwell adage of people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The ballot referendums, the issue of abortion, the branding of the pro-life movement would be completely different if America knew how much the pro-life movement cared, that we operate more than 3,000 pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes across America, that for 50 years we supported and sustained an entire social safety net for women and families in need. And we do so much more than Planned Parenthood ever claims that they do for women who are pregnant. We need to tell that story better. We've been knocking on doors in neighborhoods, including there where you're at in Phoenix, just bringing diapers and formula to the doors, telling neighbors that this is who the pro-life movement is and educating them about the local pregnancy center down the street. Because if we can start the conversation there with how much we care, how much we love, they may just listen to us when we start to talk about what Planned Parenthood actually does behind their closed doors.
Your coordinates, Chris, how people can support you, Students for Life, tell us all about it.
studentsforlife.org. If you want to bring this life-affirming message to your community, you can go to abortionfreecities.org and sign up. Check us out, studentsforlifeaction.org, which is our political arm. And then you can check out my podcast, Explicitly Pro-Life.
Very good, Kirsten. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie, for all your amazing work. It's amazing how much you've done.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you soon. Thank you so much. Everybody, check out Kirsten Hawkins' deal, abortionfreecities.org. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.